Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It was cloudy and chilly here this last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, which was a sore disappointment to people to have gone through this long, long winter, and then you come to this gorgeous weekend and cloudy and chilly and rainy. People terribly disappointed, and people start to feel this restless urge and get stir crazy and feel cabin fever like teenage boys. They just needed to get up and move and do things, people you would least expect. Myrtle Krebsbach was nagging her husband Florian. They just need to get out, get in the car, just go someplace, anywhere. She didn't care where, and he was reluctant too, because he's so proud of his 1982 Impala, which only has 47,000 miles on it, and the upholstery is like new because he's got these plastic seat covers. But finally, to make peace in the family, he got in the car, and they drove south. They went all the way down to Iowa, down to Charles City, Iowa, where her great-great-grandfather is buried in the cemetery. And Myrtle got out, and she looked around, and she found his grave. And that seemed to satisfy her somehow. So they got back in the car, and they headed back north. She made him stop at Culver's Drive-In for a Butterburger, and he was worried. He spread newspapers on that front seat, and they went over a bump and spilled some coffee on the floor mats. He had to stop and wash that off. But it was a good trip, too. Two old people who still play the alphabet game. They just enjoy it, that's all. And when they're tired of that, they play horse, where you count the number of horses on your side of the car. And when there's a cemetery on your side of the car, then you go to zero. And sometimes he cheats a little bit and sees a country church coming, and he makes a left turn so the cemetery's on the right. But they got back, and they were in fine shape. The sky had cleared a little bit by the time they got back. They put their lawn chairs out in the driveway, and she fixed a couple of vodka sours, and they sat there and just looked at the sky and just looked at the crabapple tree and pink blossoms, and a breeze came up and blew pink blossoms all over them. Daryl Tollerud had the same thing. He just felt restless. His daughter Amy graduating next week. It's the big graduation, and then the all-night party and the parents chaperone, parents who can smell vodka, who can smell tobacco smoke at 100 yards, and they're watching over these seniors. They're locked into Raleigh's Roller World in St. Cloud. They're locked in under close supervision. And then in the morning, the doors are opened, and they go on to the unsupervised part of their life, the rest of it. They're worried about these kids, as they go. It's not ignorance that we're worried about. It's stupidity, which is a very different thing. Ignorance can be corrected, but stupidity is an attitude of just not noticing things, not keeping your eyes open, not watching for things, not being aware of things. And yet, on the other hand, if we were keenly aware of everything, we would never fall in love, would we? No, we would not. We wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. We wouldn't dare go outside. It's a balance. It's worrisome for Daryl Tollerud. He loves his daughter. She's going away to school at the university. And she's sad, too, because she's saying goodbye to her dog. She's had this dog for 10 years, fell in love with this dog, found him in a cardboard box with other puppies, and this dog loves her. He's a stupid dog, but he loves her, a Norwegian dachshund. This dog has a terrible habit. He's fish dependent. He's dependent on rotten fish. It's a kind of a lutefisk substitute. He roams along the river shore, the lake shore, and he eats rotten, decayed fish and other decayed animal matter. They have to rinse him out with Listerine before he can get back in the house. The dog is incredibly stupid. She was taking him for a walk, Amy was, and she had the leash on him, and then she went back in to use the toilet. She left the dog on the porch. The dog went to leap out the window, and he caught the leash on the little catch there on the windowsill, and the dog hung dangling in the wind, hanging there, turning slowly in the wind while she finished up in the toilet. She came back. She saw the dog. She screamed, and Darryl, thinking somebody had been run through with a pitchfork, came running in from the barn, and there she was holding this limp, lifeless dog in her arms. She was sobbing. She handed the dog to him. He held the dog. He was about to tell her how this was not a bad way to go, and he was feeling a sort of relief that now they wouldn't have to take care of this dog when she'd gone off to college. And then he felt a little quickening, a little heartbeat there in the dog's chest, and he looked at the dog's eyelids fluttered. And Darryl, having seen somebody do this on TV once, he closed the dog's mouth. He closed his mouth, and he did mouth-to-snout respiration. He did it for his daughter. And the dog woke up, and the dog sneezed, a big gob of dog snot. And Darryl handed him back. The dog was wagging its tail. Darryl went and he lay in the barn on the hay and regretted that he was about to do what he knew he was just about to do. His mouth tasted of what? Of rotten fish or decayed badger or something. But then he knew he was going to do it, so he went ahead and he did it, and he felt better, as you so often do, and he decided to go fishing just to get away from all of this. He got in his boat and he went out on the lake for a moment of meditation. Clarence Bunsen felt this restlessness too. An old man, and yet he couldn't bear to sit in the house any longer. And he got in his car and he drove up north on the county road, and he was going not that fast. He was going not that fast past Hanson's and towards Tollefson's, and it was this June bug that flew right into his windshield. It was about the size of a walnut, not that big, but it was the trajectory. It was coming right straight between Clarence's eyes. This thing came in like a bullet and hit the windshield, and hit by reflex, he just steered to the right, and he went into the ditch. Actually, he went straddled the ditch. The car straddled the ditch. It was a deep ditch. He opened his door and looked down. It was 10 feet down. He got out of the car and hoisted himself up on the roof, and he crawled down onto the hood and then stepped out onto the ground, and there was a scraping and rumbling sound, and the front end of the car just wham went down into the ditch. The car stood there practically vertical. He didn't want to stay around and have to explain this to somebody. There was the June bug mashed against his windshield. So he went back into town. He walked into town, hiked a mile and a half, and he went down to the lake, and he got into his boat with the inscription across the stern that says, "Oh, the blessed mood that lightens the heaviness of the mystery and the weight of all this weary world." He pushed away from the shore and rowed out onto the water. So peaceful out there. He loves to go fishing. It's no trouble at all. The fish are no trouble. There's the occasional one who needs help getting off the hook, but there didn't seem to be any today. And then he saw Darryl Tollerud in his boat out there, and Clarence rowed out there. He said, "How's everything?" Darryl said, "Just fine." Just fine. So Amy's graduating. Yeah, she's graduating. So where's she going? Well, she's going to the university. Well, that'll be fine. That'll be good. You hungry? I've got some lunch here that Arlene packed. Well, what do you have? Well, I've got some pickled herring here. No, I don't think so. Not that hungry. I've got a sandwich here. I've got a tongue sandwich. No, I think I'll pass that up too. Pass that up. Got a beer here. No, I'd have a beer. Beer would be fine. Thank you very much. I'll have a beer. That's good. It's a beautiful time of year. The sun is going to come out here this next week. Rhubarb growing like crazy, discovering all kinds of new things to do with it. Rhubarb jelly and rhubarb dressing for your salad and rhubarb marinade to put on your pork when you barbecue it. Rhubarb bread, just no end of things to do with this bumper crop of rhubarb. And rhubarb is, as we know, the secret of the good life. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.